This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
The following contains graphic depictions of body horror. You are listening to Tales from the Guild, Shadows of Paradigm. This is part 11 of our story. If you've missed the other parts, you can find them on freefm.org.nz or your favourite podcast distributor. Having arrived in Caston's Fall, our heroes have begun their investigation into the sightings of King Caston's ghost. Their investigations have led them to the Brouhaha and brought them face to face with the old elf, Nazira.
Tanwyn starts clapping because she was genuinely very excited by all of the things that glowed.
Oh, thank you.
Whoa, that was lovely. I've never had quite an experience like that.
Magnus is going to leave over and be like, you can look, but you can't buy anything.
Oh, not even that stuffed bird, the glue.
No, definitely not the stuffed bird.
So, yes.
It's got a not for sale tag on it.
Hi. As I said, my name is Amadeus. This is Magnus and Tanwyn. We're here to talk to you about the ghost, who may or may not be Caston.
Oh, no, that was Caston. I remember him. He was a polite young fellow. He still is rather polite, despite his deadness.
What do you mean you remember him?
I'm 902 years old.
Oh!
I lived in what is now called Caston's Rise, and I even taught the young boy.
My word. He must have left quite an impression on you.
I remember a lot of things.
Why didn't you teach him to not fall off high places?
Because that's something you can't teach.
No, you just kind of have to know that or don't. And that's why I have a healthy and solid fear of heights. So I don't fall off anything.
No, I taught him math and how to read.
Ah, the basics.
And how governments worked, or rather how feudal society worked. And
the rise of kings to power and some such.
Yeah, may or may not have been a mistake.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. So, yes, we do have a couple of questions. You said that he's still polite. What do you mean by that? Have you talked to the ghost?
Oh, yes. I was out for a nice midnight stroll, because there's a fun. Something to do when you can't sleep. Not that I can.
I know that pain. I cannot sleep either.
So much extra time. And because humans and the rest of you short-lived races need to sleep for so long, there's nothing to do.
Never really considered how patient elves are, really.
As somebody who, well, short-lived, also does not need to sleep, yes, I know that pain.
Yes. No, he actually, the young man recognized me. He seemed awful confused.
Oh, recognised you?
Well, of course he'd recognise me. I taught him.
Right.
Why was he confused?
Well, last year, remember, he was on top of the mountain.
Right.
Now he in a town that he doesn't remember. It's named after him, and apparently him falling off of a mountain. He was quite shocked when he heard the story of why the town is called what it is.
Yes, well, I can imagine that. We heard from another source that he appeared to have a broken neck and a sword stabbed through him.
Yes, yes. Had bent at a strange angle that I can only assume is from where his neck broke due to the fall. And yeah, no, he had a sword stabbed right through his chest from the back to the front.
No, that is unusual.
Was that part of his myth?
No, I don't think it was.
No, legend has it he fell. How he fell is the question.
Well, I think we might have just figured out where he fell. He had a big old sword through him.
Yes.
Humpty Dumpty was pushed.
One assumes that the sword was pre-mortem, not post-mortem.
What if he fell on the sword?
Oh, that's just unfortunate, isn't it?
Yes.
That would suck.
That would suck.
And honestly, I would not put it past the events of that poor man's story.
So you have a lot of sympathy for old Cast.
The history doesn't paint him in the best light.
No, it mostly seems to treat him as kind of a joke.
No, he was very vain. The stories do get that quite accurate. But, no, he didn't just decide to take over Caston's Rise because it was a grand old thing to do. It was ruled by a rather cruel baron. The baron did some rather horrible things to Caston's family and friends, and one day him and several of his friends decided that they had enough and broke into the baron's home and killed him.
My word, a young revolutionary.
Yeah, Caston was, they all agreed that Caston Castan should lead, because he was the leader of them, so should mean that he's a good leader and can lead the rest of the people. And though his reign was woefully short, he wasn't a bad ruler, per se, just, unfortunately ambitious.
Well, it's interesting to hear about his story from
someone who was there.
Someone who had personal stake in the whole thing.
I mean, if he hadn't have met his untimely end, I'm sure he would have gone after the neighboring earl and then the prince, who, quite frankly, all the feudal lords back then were rubbish. Why Empress Dawn did what she did when she did.
Indeed. Unfortunately, speaking as somebody who reads far too many books to be healthy, the facts from that long ago weren't always recorded at length.
No.
I mean, you can't exactly blame them for podcasting. He was a big deal for all of 4 months, and it's funnier to just have it the way that it is written.
Well, it's
funnier,
in
quotation marks.
You know, it's a funny children's story.
Yes.
No.
For a children's story, it's a great story about hubris.
Oh, way.
As a cautionary tale, yes. Unfortunately, as an academic,
Armidace is always searching for the truth of the matter. Now,
have fun.
Now, we were just talking to someone who said that Cast asked them where the tomb of King Castan was. Now, as someone who was there during the whole debacle, do you know where his body is buried?
No.
No.
Last I heard, they never retrieved it. Or Ooh. Couldn't, for one reason or another.
Or couldn't. Oh. Oof.
It was 300-something years ago. Right. I don't remember.
No.
Makes sense.
The fact that you remember as much as you do is excellent.
He was a memorable young man.
I'm sure he was.
I have no doubt.
And when did you speak to the ghost?
Two weeks ago. I think I was the first to see him. I believe it was the first night he awoke, I suppose is the right word.
That makes sense.
And what did you say?
A long third long.
Oh,
I assume at night.
Yeah, I was walking around at midnight and was quite surprised to hear that voice again after so many years.
I'd imagine so. Not exactly a thing that happens very often.
No. It was a lovely conversation, though.
Has there been any reports of people seeing him during the daytime?
No.
I didn't think so. And this ghost, it said things to you that you believe only King Castan would know about.
Yes.
Okay. So was he wearing a crown?
No.
Okay.
Castan never had a crown.
Okay, there's something that's gotten mixed up in one of our reports. We'll have to make sure we...
Hmm.
They often depict him with a crown because that's what you expect a king to have.
Yeah, I don't think they actually ever said that he had a crown. I just thought kings always had crowns on.
Yeah, well, it's a natural assumption.
Did he ever have a crown this 4 months?
No, about the closest thing he had was a gold arm cuff that he wore that he pulled off the baron and then removed the...
That's because he didn't know any good blacksmiths. I would have been able to knock him out a crown easy. Those things take like a day.
Maybe you should make him a crown.
Oh, I could make him a crown. Absolutely.
He's a ghost. I don't think he's going to exactly be after a corporeal crown.
No,
that might calm him down.
It might calm him down.
He wasn't particularly angry in the first place. More confused.
Right.
Well, yes, the last memory he had was being on top of the mountain and suddenly he's at the bottom and learning that he's in a town named after his untimely demise.
Of course he's confused. He can't find his crown.
It's covering his face. He's praying. He's looking up at the sky. He's covering his eyes.
Out of funnel, why?
Got him.
Okay, I'm just going to be quiet for a minute.
Okay, so we've heard that he's been walking around, but he's mostly been up at the Griffin Aries.
I wouldn't know. I haven't been looking for him. I suppose that might be the case.
The Griffin Aries are the place that he took his untimely tumble, correct?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought that was the same place.
No. If records are to be believed, he was right at the peak of the Alps. So like a good 2.5. Like these are rather short mountains. They're 2,500 feet tall.
Right at the top of it.
Tall enough for you to still die if you fall down them.
I'd prefer not to have right up to the top if I couldn't help it.
We've still got a few people to talk to, Tenlin, sir.
That's true. But we're
all the way down here.
Next stop is the Griffin Aries, correct? Going to talk to Felice?
Yes.
Right,
let's go talk to Felice. Yes.
Have a good day, dearie.
Oh, actually, before we go, do you think I could buy one thing?
Do you do potions here?
Yes, I have a lot of potions here. There's three or four shelves of just various coloured concoctions.
Is there anything you recommend in particular for someone who's going to be hunting ghosts all night?
I would say holy water, but I don't have that. I'm not priestly. I'm witchy.
Oh, that's all right. I can handle my own holy water.
Do you have
water.
Unholy water then?
It's not a thing, is it?
I don't know. Is it a thing then? I can imagine. Maybe
I've never thought about it, but presumably it's a thing.
Well, maybe if you go to like a swamp or something and you scoop up some of the really nasty stuff, maybe that's unholy water.
That's swamp water.
What kind
of water do witches have?
Witches' water.
Purified water.
Oh, that sounds quite nice.
Sounds tasty.
It's required for just basic living around here. But,
you're right.
You don't really want tainted water when making potions. That's how you make poisons.
Maybe something that keeps us up late at night. Some kind of energy potion. Maybe something called, like, Monster or something. Red Bull. Blue Cow.
Do you mean Crimson Elephant?
I do mean Crimson Elephant. Do you have any Crimson
Elephants?
What
is a bull?
I don't know.
No, I mean, I could, but I don't currently have anything like that. Nobody's really asked for that.
So what do you have?
Well, I have a lot of medicine.
Why?
A lot of medicine.
Oh, why?
I've got your various potencies of healing drafts. I've got one that will make your skin tougher.
Ooh.
I've got one that will make you bigger for a bit.
Ooh.
I've got one that will make you brave.
Oh.
Amadeus?
I am an adequate amount of brave, thank you very much.
And one that can make you as strong as a giant for about a minute.
No, I am interested in that one that makes you bigger for it. How much would that be?
Let me check my catalogue. Here we are. That will be 50 gold.
What about the one that makes you super beefy?
One of the giant strength ones. Let's see, I currently have... one. That will be 750 gold.
Oh, shoo. I see, you've got a very high...
These don't sell super often, but they do occasionally.
Do you do a payment plan?
No. Mostly that these get bought by the Empire, mostly.
That makes sense. Got to make your soldiers nice and strong. Okay, well, maybe you could recommend something to someone on a, say 10 gold piece budget, maybe?
Unfortunately, none of my potions are that cheap.
What about some of your medicine?
Which type?
Or maybe something in a hut flask that'll keep him warm at night?
Oh, that, yes, I can do that. Let's see. A bag of this will do quite nicely.
Oh, fantastic.
And that. A bag of this will run you about 5 silver.
Oh, right.
And it's 10 doses.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Don't
thank you
take
so much.
More than one dose at a time. It is a little addictive.
I'll keep it in mind. Thank you.
And also, too many doses and you might spontaneously combust.
Oh, no. Well, we wouldn't want that, would we?
Yes, and you have been given an 10-dose pouch of fire leaf, which is typically consumed as a sort of tea.
Fantastic.
It is also sometimes used as a fire starter because rub a couple of the leaves together and they spark off each other.
Cool. All right.
All right. Well, thank you for...
Yeah, no, it's a plant that you have to very carefully cultivate.
I bet.
Yeah.
All right, I thank her for her time, and once Tanwyn has put away her new acquisition,
right.
We head on out to find Felice,
yes.
Who is not of the Navidad.
No.
Not from the Navidad tribe.
No. So you guys head back towards the Griffin area. You guys arrive 2 in the afternoon, so it's around 4-ish by this point. The sun is not setting just yet, but it is on the lower end of the sky.
I can imagine that the sun would set early here, because we're in the west and we're on the east side of the mountain,
yeah.
Correct? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah, no, it would be starting to get dark around about now, at least for you guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for...
At least for you guys without dark vision.
That's true, we don't have dark vision.
And as you guys approach the area, which is this large open top, not so much a building as it is just 4 walls, so that griffins can fly in and out.
Makes sense.
They forgot the ceiling.
I don't think they did, strangely enough.
Yeah, and there's just a bunch of pens just filled with hay and branches and...
Amadeus.
Yes.
Have you ever eaten griffin before?
Not to my knowledge, but I don't tend to pay attention to what meals were served at our home base, so potentially.
Tastes like rather gamey chicken.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Sorry.
What are you all doing at the Aerie?
You kind of crept up on us there.
And the woman talking to you is a dwarven woman with, even in this low light, bright red hair. And a heaping of freckles.
We're looking for Felice.
Well, you found her.
Oh, well, it's nice to meet you, Felice. We're from the Durnya. I'm sure you saw us come in on
yes,
the dragon
with
a little bit earlier.
That rather unfortunate looking dragon.
Oh, don't be mean to him. He's a very good dragon.
He looks naked.
He looks
fine.
He looks streamlined, aerodynamic.
At least he doesn't have freckles.
Hey!
Ouch. Okay. Fair enough.
I apologize. For my friends, we're coming off a 4-day dragon ride. We are a little...
But the dragon that was actually loved.
Tensions are a little bit high. We're all looking forward to having a nice nap.
I apologize for making...
That's all good. He looks really weird.
Let's not be too hard on the guy. He did give us a ride.
As for the freckle comment, I've heard worse. At which point you notice that her left hand is missing the ring finger and pinky. And her arms are just... covered in scars. People have a fair amount to say about my attire. Not so much my attire, actually, just everything else.
Well, rest assured, we'll make no further comments on your appearance. Right, Magnus?
Yep.
Okay.
Goddess of all of this and that, we'd like to talk to you about the ghost.
Oh.
Oh, wait, that's what we're really here about.
Okay, I thought you guys were here to eat one of my griffins.
No, no.
I mean, if that's on the...
No, that's just
No, let's just say that we are prone to eclectic conversation.
I mean, it's a fair thought to have.
Well, yes, but no, that's not why we're here. We're here to discuss the ghost. That is why we were brought here in the first place.
Right, well, no, you haven't really done much about him. She points to the edge of the plateau and typically just sits over there most nights, longingly looks out.
Whoa, no, that is interesting.
He cries half the night. So...
Oh, no. Oh, poor. Aww. Poor guy. No, when we came here, I was expecting some sort of nefarious business, but it just seems like you've got a sad man who needs a chat.
Apparently. I'm not going anywhere near him. For all I know, he could be some sort of male banshee.
See, that's what I was thinking. But, you know, there's no accounting for whatever happened in this world.
Yeah, no, my job is to look after the griffins. I'm not dealing with that.
Thankfully, dealing with stuff like that is why we have the Denya.
Oh, yes. It's our job.
Yep.
Now, when's the last time you saw this ghost?
Last night.
Right, so he's been very consistently coming up here.
Yeah, just sits out on the edge of the plateau, just looking out, crying.
So does he start there, or does he come from somewhere else? Do you see?
I'm usually busy. I typically only notice him once he's started crying.
And around about what time is he usually out there?
An hour or two after the true sunset, not gal sunsets. Fantastic mountains. Makes it dark real quick.
Oh, but on the bright side, you've got an early morning.
No earlier than the people on the East Coast.
True, but we're on the East Coast, and I like an early morning.
Good for you.
So do you think we could come up here later on and hang out and maybe wait for him?
As long as you don't bother my griffins. Or rather, my mum's griffins.
We have no intention to disturb the griffins.
No, absolutely not.
Good.
I like my fingers.
I do like my fingers.
I would tend to agree with that statement.
No.
I say this because we don't have any more scrolls of regeneration. And even if we did, I am not wasting them on fingers.
Well, we could always go back to the hospital.
Yeah, we can be like, oh no, my finger's off, and then they could do it for us.
Well, yes. But until then.
By the time you finish conversing with Felice, the sun has now well and truly set for you guys.
Oh, I don't think that we can get all the way back down and have a nap, can we? I suppose we'd better...
I mean, it's 5 in the evening. It's only a 10-minute walk.
I guess so. Maybe we can go back to the Downy Nest, have some food, have maybe a 1-2-hour nap, and then come back up here.
And then come back to the Downy Nests here.
Aye, very clever.
Excellent wordplay there. So yes, we head back to the inn and have dinner, and we'll let these two have a nap.
Do you guys take 8 hours or so, or do you guys want to head off earlier than that?
Oh, earlier than that, just a short...
Yeah, you can organise...
A little power nap.
A power nap, essentially a short rest, not that you guys need it.
No.
For realism's sake, yes, you guys need it.
Yes.
Mechanics' sake, no.
Yeah.
Basically.
What was dinner?
It was roast elk event.
Oh, is it delicious? What does it taste like?
It tastes kind of halfway between pork and beef.
Mm.
Specifically, you had slow roasted elephant trunk.
Like a sausage.
Mm. Nice. But yeah, I'll wake him up in a couple of hours. Try not to get lost in a book.
Ooh, all right, I feel ready to go and meet a ghost. How about you two?
Really go.
All right. How exciting. Let me just get my bag and let me just get my other bag and just make sure I've got all of my candles and... All right, go.
I
don't have night vision.
I have the ability to cast light. We've been over this.
I know, but what if you're not there all of a sudden and I still need some light?
Light lasts for at least an hour.
That's what torches and lanterns are for.
Exactly, that's why I've got them.
But you also have candles.
Yes, just in case I need smaller light.
This woman. Yeah. And you guys make the trek back up to the Aerie, the plateau that the Aerie is on.
Whew.
And as you approach, you do see this figure in the shape of a adult male human with a rather unusual looking sword stabbed through his back. And his head kind of bent at a very odd angle.
Oh, no, that's freaky, that one is. This is why I don't like going near the edge of cliffs.
And,
something like that's going to happen to you.
And from where you guys are standing, you hear, lightly on the wind, the sound of weeping.
Oh, no, and he's crying. I'm not good with cryers.
Tenwin, do you have any tissues, maybe?
No.
I don't think that'd be of much use.
Do you have any ghost tissues?
We don't have ghost chips.
Right, I will approach... Hello, King, sir?
You're right there, Caston, Mr. Caston. I don't know if it's okay to still call you King since you're all...
Indisposed.
Somewhat.
Something like that, aye. Oh, you're looking mighty sad there.
Well, you would be too if you found out your life's work was seen as naught but a joke.
Oh, it's not just a joke.
I don't find it humorous at all. It's very educational.
Well, it's not very funny.
No, that's what I meant.
Oh, sorry. oh, sorry. It's not. I'm not laughing at you. my companions are just. They're just funny to me. I'm sorry. Yeah, and I'm nervous. So, we hear you've been wandering around for a few weeks now. What's all that about there, my dear?
Well, I died.
Aye. We'll see. It was like 300 years ago, so what's so different now?
It does happen to quite a few people.
Oh, the death thing? Aye,
yeah.
Aye.
Yes, why now?
And if you don't mind me asking, why you?
At this point, the ghost of Caston rises from his sitting position and turns around.
Oh, no, don't do that. Oh.
And you see in life a face that you recognize from the statue that you saw in Mortimer's museum.
Oh.
It was rather quite accurate.
He looks
which
just
is
like the statue.
Interesting, because a lot of statues tend to beautify or make uglier the person they are trying to depict. Yeah, he probably would have been a decently handsome person if it weren't for the sword and the broken neck.
And the whole... being dead thing.
And the whole being dead thing. No, that I died 3 weeks ago.
Ah.
Right.
I can see why that would be confusing and disheartening.
So from your perspective, you hit the ground and then you got up and you're a ghost.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, from what I understand of it, what happened to him happened to him, and then 3 weeks passed and it's now.
No, you're right. He's only been walking around for 2 weeks. So what was that extra week all about there, my dear?
Damn strange.
Okay.
Maybe it was 2 weeks. I've kind of lost count.
That's... temporal mechanics is another...
I was quite honestly going by what you guys were saying.
Ah, yes. Sorry, apologies. Well...
So no kind of passage of time for you at all in between hitting the ground and standing back up again?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I didn't die falling off the mountain.
Oh, right.
Guessing the rather large sword through your torso is...
You didn't land on the sword.
Is what you're saying. You didn't land on the sword.
No.
I thought it was a sword on the stone situation.
No.
We did discuss that before.
Let the man speak.
Sorry.
That's awful. No, The sword didn't kill me either.
What killed you, pray tell?
What is it? Did you get scared to death?
The removal of the sword.
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds perfect, actually.
No, because then why is it still in you then? I don't like that. I don't like that it's still in you, but you said it's not in you.
Because it's been there so long that I essentially identify it as part of myself at this point. Hence, why I still appear with a broken neck.
Wait, you mean you've been walking around, like, living person with a sword through you?
No.
What? Oh, I'm so confused.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I've only got
as I understand it, because of his self-perception...
Right.
...but of the circumstances surrounding his death...
Right.
...and please correct me if I'm wrong, sir, because he was stabbed...
Right.
...effectively to death and his neck broken...
Right.
It's kind of imprinted on him, and because it's imprinted on him...
Right.
...and how he sees himself...
Right.
...it is now how he presents himself.
Right.
You're listening to Tales from the Guild, Shadows of Paradigm.
Oh, I think I get it. It's kind of like if you have a baby horse, if you have a foal, and you pick it up a bunch when it's really little, once it grows up, it thinks that you can still pick it up, and then it doesn't try to... come for you, even though it's, 500 kgs worth of horse.
Exactly.
Right, so you're kind of like a baby horse.
Please forgive my compatriots.
I'm from the farm.
Does that mean we can ride?
No. Please forgive my compatriots. They mean well.
We can't ride him because he was picked up too much when he was young?
Yes. No, you can ride horses if you pick them up a lot when they're young, because then they think that you're the boss.
This is supposed to be a serious turn Eldritch horror campaign. Well, mostly horror campaign. And then we have these two chuckleheads.
And I am somehow left with all the party brain cells.
Yes. I mean, they're really role-played the 8 and 10 intelligence well.
I think I get it. So this is the actual sword. No, not the actual sword. This is the ghost. This is your memory of the sword that killed you.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's a clue.
It killed you on the way out? Was it like a stab in, stab out situation? Or a stab in, you walked around for a few days and then pulled out?
Stab in, stab out situation.
Right.
No.
Whoa.
Oh.
This is what I remember. I was tallest peak.
Aye.
Of the Alps.
Aye.
Okay.
Tallest
looking
Alps.
Over the land. It was beautiful. It was magnificent. It was a good day. Until it wasn't.
Aye.
I was looking out, planning my next move.
As you do.
As you do. And then searing heat erupted in my chest. And, oh, look, I've been impaled. Huh. Except, I was freaking out a lot more in that moment.
Well, you've had 2 to 3 weeks to deal with what is obviously a traumatic moment.
Yes.
It's not a lot of time to deal with a traumatic moment.
Because I was standing on the peak towards the edge of it, and I lost power in my limbs and fell forwards.
Yes, getting...
And you fell, let me understand it, you fell away from the sword, so it kind of stayed there and off you went for a tumble.
Yeah, the sword came with me, though.
Oh, no. Oh,
ouch.
Oh, you poor thing. That must have been really painful.
I can see why it sort of imprinted on your psyche.
Yeah. And, I thought, well, that's it. I'm dead.
Right.
Then I woke up.
Right.
And now you're here.
No.
Oh, no.
No. No. Like, he gets this look on his face, a look that's just like, I wish that was the case.
So, upstairs or down?
No, here.
Oh.
Here?
I asked him if he went to the heaven or hell. He didn't go either way.
Right.
I died.
Right.
2 weeks ago.
No, you didn't, my darling. You died 300 years ago.
Let me explain.
Okay.
He's getting a little frustrated, right? No, I woke up somewhere underground. I don't know exactly where. And the man I thought was my best friend and greatest confidant was there, ready to torture me.
Ooh, well, that's...
What? You've been in some sort of torture chamber for 300 years?
Yes.
Aren't you a human?
Yes.
No, that's not natural.
No, neither was the sword he stabbed me with.
This
wicked red blade kept me alive, allowed him to act out every disgusting and horrible thought that he had.
Oh, my.
Did it keep him alive as well, or was he one of the longer-lived peoples?
No, he was human as well. He died, I think, in his 80s.
And then you were just down there?
Yeah.
Until
a couple of weeks ago, when, lo and behold, he's back and he takes the sword back.
Okay. Died and came back, you say? That's powerful magics.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't know.
So, who is this? You'd have to understand. There's a story that's been told about you for 300 years. And there is no best friend and greatest ally mentioned in the story.
I'm sure he kept himself out of it. He was also probably the one that spread it.
Right. So what's his name then?
Henrys Fulgor.
Henrys Fulgor.
This is a name all of you recognize. This is the tyrant that Mana Dawn overthrew.
Oh. Well, were you kept abreast of all of the things that Henrys was doing after he killed you? Well, after he stabbed you?
I mean, he bragged about one thing or another, but no. It's been a long time, and quite frankly, I'm not sure how I didn't go insane with just kind of hanging out underground with nothing to see or do, but just stare at the glorying red sword in your chest.
Right.
So a couple of weeks ago, he came back, yoinked the sword, and you came. Considering that Henrys totally a not so benevolent dictator.
Away.
And then the current ruler, a fine lass named Manadon, rules over the territory as sort of god dragon queen.
She's our kind of god empress of the local island. You know, well, this island, this continent.
Oh, but I'm glad somebody managed to unite the lands then.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if I'd go around telling people that he was your best friend.
No.
Implies that you're, like, moving in some pretty negative circles.
Well, I didn't know that.
He has a pretty negative reputation.
Well, we're just trying to help.
It's always good to know when you've been out of the loop for a while like you have. Anyway.
I do like the idea of being able to punch him, though.
It does sound like he's slightly alive.
Aye. More alive than we think.
Would it cheer up if we punched him a lot?
Greatly.
Excellent.
Sounds like a good plan then. Now, I've gotten over being freaked out about you being a ghost, because you seem like a really nice guy. But I would like to take a little look at that sword in you, because maybe I can glean some information from it.
Sure.
Is that okay?
I mean, I can't take it out of me, just going to have to look. And
that's all right.
I'm kind of incorporeal, so can't touch either.
Aye. Tanwyn will immediately try to grasp it by its hilt.
Yeah, nothing.
A hand just goes straight through. Aye.
This is a...
Gross. Sorry.
Rather unique-looking blade, as you've mostly dealt with double-edged swords. Most of the swords around... I mean, the sword is not the most common weapon, but most swords that are around in Paradern are double-edged. This is a single-edged blade, kind of more like a very, very long knife blade.
How thick is the blade?
At its widest point, 5-6 centimeter, 2-ish inches.
Right.
And interestingly enough, it has no hand guard on the hilt, but it flares out at the end, and it kind of looks like a pair of elephant ears at the end of the hilt, which you would surmise is probably there to stop your hand from flying off the sword.
It kind of looks like he stabbed you with a fish lace there.
You're going to say something.
Just thinking Magnus might try and sidle around and then just try to put a finger on the handle of the sword. Oh, wait, no, the handle's coming out of his chest, doesn't it?
No, the blade's coming...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's going to go around to the behind and try and put a finger on the handle.
Roll me a d20.
Two.
Nothing happens.
Damn.
Okay.
So,
how's that?
Legend lore.
Oh.
I knew this was going to come up.
That is.
I need to know the name of the sword to be able to legend lore that thing?
I'm going
to
say more or less right there in front of you. No.
I would like to.
Cast legend lore.
I can use it again in 3 days.
Cool. Yeah. This is the demon blade of Henrys Fulgor, a blade born of his envy and his greed. Henrys Fulgor was the bastard son of the tyrant that Castan overthrew.
Whoa.
Henrys believed that he should have been put in charge and to rule instead of Castan, and that resentment festered and rotted until it birthed a demon blade. And as you know, demon blades
are really friendly and cool. We should let Tanwyn have 8 of them.
I want 8 of them, please.
Oh, no, those were fiend blades.
Same thing.
Mm. Okay.
They enhance those negative feelings, those horrid ideas. They push you towards them. And thus, when at the top of the mountain, Henris stabbed Kasten in the back with the demon blade and lightly pushed. The blade kept him alive, acting as a sort of heart. It couldn't repair the broken neck, but it could repair any other damage to flesh and muscle. So Kasten was alive, but paralyzed.
Oof.
And for the next several decades of Henris's life, any time Henris was aggrieved or angry or frustrated or just feeling particularly sadistic, he would go visit Kasten in the little hideaway that he had under the mountain and torture him. And then, 2 weeks ago, Henris retrieved his blade, looking a great deal healthier than he had when the blade had last seen him.
Hmm, scary.
Men would rather torture their friend for 300 years to get therapy.
Real. Do we know much, not just as Dernia, but also just as people who exist on this planet, do we know anything about Demon Blade? Is this a phenomenon? Do people with great negative energy in their hearts, is that something that they can produce?
Yeah, it's not common. It typically gets brought up in fairy tales and myths and legends and stuff. As far as the general populace is concerned, it's something right out of stories.
Right.
But it does happen. It's rare, but it does. Which brings into question how there was 6 of them stabbed into Abergammon.
Those ones are for me. Those ones are for me.
Well, they are for whoever picked them up in the Seven Hells.
Well, that's obviously the next part of the campaign, is going to the Seven Hells to retrieve Tanwyn's blades.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We're not going into that.
Not with that attitude.
No, you're not going into Pandemonium to go find the demon princes and get a bunch of demon blades.
Because that would require...
plane shifting.
plane shifting, and B, for our GM to read up on Pandemonium, because I believe, well, there's a source book for that. I do not wish to torture our GM with that.
Tanwyn's going to manifest the first ever demon backpack, and it's just to put things in.
Okay.
When Henris came to pick up the blade, this is thought, was that around the same time we were dealing with shenanigans?
Yes. Roughly around the time that somebody ate an eyeball.
That's crazy. I don't know who that possibly could have been. And it was a good time, and there were no negative effects.
So what you're saying is, if we can feed Tanwyn another eyeball...
Yeah.
The eyeballs were quite rightfully confiscated.
Listen.
We can request them.
The eyeballs have kept us in a job. Maybe if it wasn't for the eyeballs, we wouldn't be working right now, and we wouldn't be getting money.
I feel sorry for the king.
Money.
They're talking about eyeballs. Well,
okay. No, listen, I haven't mentioned this out loud yet.
Okay.
This is... in character.
But yeah.
You're imagining this conversation. You're like, maybe I won't mention this out loud.
Basically, what you guys see is Amadeus's eyes turn this arcane blue. As from your perspective, you're basically getting shown a highlight reel of all the information that you could ever want about this demon blade.
Okay.
Which, interestingly enough, never got a name.
Oh.
Okay. So, oh boy, that's a rush. Ooh.
You don't know where Kasten was kept, though. You just know it's underground in a room of green and black stone.
We need to find a geologist.
Geologist?
Magnus has only read the word. He's never said it aloud.
Okay, so, oh god, that's a rush. I have knowledge on this.
Ooh, he's back.
Yes, I'm back. Hello. That was... gonna get used to that. Sorry about that. I have a book.
Yeah, basically, the book opened, the pages fluttered, and just kept perpetually flicking.
And, well, my eyes were...
blue.
Blue, as opposed to the usual solid black. Ah, right, yes. Hey, hello, right, yes.
It's almost as if having a book called The Encyclopedia of Everything is useful.
Volume 1.
Volume one. Volume one.
Titles are important.
True.
Anyway, so, turns out your friend, kind of a jealous dickhead.
The ghost gives you a look of faux shock.
Yes, well, it might not be news to you, but it's... Okay, right. So, your friend had a demon blade. It's what kept you alive.
Oh!
Kind of similar to those six swords you really want.
No, I know what they are. They're so rare. They're basically just legends.
In this particular case, it was born out of Henris's...
inferiority complex.
Surprisingly large inferiority complex, because you kind of shanked his dad. The tyrant that you shanked was his dad, and he thought that he should have been in charge, and that's why he shanked you.
There's just a... He could have said something!
I don't know if you've noticed this, but men, like us, are kind of bad at communicating our feelings. Congratulations.
I'm going to be honest with you. Even if you had stepped aside and let him take the throne, I do not think that this country would have had a better time with him in charge, considering that he very quickly became a tyrant and then was overthrown by our empress, who we turned into a god through the power of our own belief, apparently. I'm still not entirely sure how that works, but...
At the very least, I wouldn't be a laughing stock.
Well, maybe we're here to help you out with that. You're not like a laughing stock. It's just kind of a cautionary tale. And there's a statue of you. And where you fell became a very, very successful mining town.
How many places are named after Henris?
There's zero places named after Henris. We've got like 5 places named after you. There's even a forest. I don't even know why the forest is named after you. It just is.
He named it.
Not gonna lie, I had a lot of time to reflect on. I was kind of vain.
To be fair, you were probably riding high off shaking a tyrant, so... So I can understand...
Killing tyrant juice.
I can kind of understand riding high on your ego after basically, you know, executing a coup. So, you know, egotistical? Yes. Understandable? Also, yes.
Well, we've been sent here to figure out why you're here. Because, to be honest with you, Kasten, I can call you Kasten.
Yeah,
ghosts,
sure.
Not normal. What's happening here? Not a normal situation.
I just want to be buried.
And, okay.
All right.
Okay, that we can help with that. Can you show us the way back to your... Well, it's not really a tomb. I don't really want to call it a torture chamber because that's... Can you show us to where the body...
That's the trouble. I don't know where I am.
We do kind of have to...
Why after trying to talk? People are terrified of me.
Yes.
You're kind of scaring the bros.
You are scaring the bros.
So, thankfully, the three of us have seen weirder stuff and do not...
Aye, we sure have.
I pity you and thank you.
Right.
Pity appropriate. I just to his friends. You see what I deal with. Anyway. Anyway, thankfully, we can investigate on your behalf, so that you don't have to scare the populace.
So you can rest in peace.
That would be wonderful.
It is just peace, right? Not peace.
I'm going to assume by the state of his ghost, being a reflection of his body, that he is in fact in one piece.
Okay.
It's only rest in pieces if you've cleaved them in twain. I know you get confused a lot because you often do that.
Mm.
So,
just the cleanup.
Discussions for another time. Ghost King.
Yes.
Should we be bowing?
No, I don't know. Discussions for another time.
I don't bow to anyone but Artifora, and also my dad, because he's my dad.
Yes. Anyway, so, who were you trying to ask about where you were buried? Because we can go and ask them and not scare them.
Anyone? I only pop up at night, and it's always on the surface. I've tried going underground. It's dark, and it's cramped, and I don't like it.
Fair enough. I do know the room you were left in was made out of green and black stone, but I don't have a location.
Well, that's not the end of the road, though. We're in a mining town. We can just go ask some miners.
There'll be someone who knows things about rogs.
There'll be... Exactly.
Did you say rogs?
Rogs.
Rogs. It's like a cute way to say rock.
Oh.
It's what geologists study.
No, it's geologist.
Oh, sorry. A geologist.
What are we in? 40K?
Anyway, it's not a big deal. You were asked the knocker-up and a lady who does potions.
I knew the lady that...
Oh, wait. She knows you too. She said you were a nice lad. But you've got to ask the people that know things about the place where you are.
Yes. So we can ask around
Oi.
See if we can locate a room that was hewn out of green and black stone, and hopefully find your body so we can lay you to rest.
In the meantime, why don't you go back and visit Nazira? She seemed like she was having a nice time with you at her brouhahar, which is her shop, and you could just go and kind of hang out there and swap stories and stuff. It's better than sitting up here and just crying all night. You're scaring the griffin.
He kind of looks like a mix of proud and confused. Because, like, they're way scarier than I am.
They're way scarier than a living human person. Aye, but you're a ghost.
Right.
So, you know.
You're a ghost with the memory of a sword in you.
Mm.
Mm.
Crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does scream something straight out of the dark nightmare tales that
aye.
People tell.
Aye.
Yeah, no, no, I see
kind of like how when the ground shakes, cats will get super scared, even if it's not a big ground shake.
Hey, so like if an elephant walks past, some of the cats will be like, whoa!
Yes, so go talk to your friend, Nazira, and hang out at her shop. I'm sure she'd love to talk about the old days with somebody that was actually there. And
okay, let's not rub in how old.
And I'm sure she can catch you up on recent events.
And not so recent events.
Them too. I was trying to be polite.
Whoa.
Which I know unusual for me, but here we go. So yeah, you can catch up on events and we can let the lovely animals here get some sleep.
Yeah, sure. I'll try that.
And if we have any more questions, we know where to find you.
That is always good, yes. And keeping you in somewhere where we know where you are.
We thank you for your understanding.
Thank you. You took the time to listen to me, which is a darn sight more than most people have.
Do you want to walk down to Nazira's with us?
I do that in my own
of
time.
Course.
All right. Mm.
Well, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Oi. And good to know the real story.
Mm.
Yes, exactly. So yes, definitely a pleasure. We will talk to you later.
Okay.
And
crazy that Henris is even bigger of a bastard than we thought he was.
Mm.
Yes. Everybody's going to really enjoy this new story. I can tell you that much.
I didn't think it could get worse from, like, the kitten torture.
Oh, aye.
The what?
Oh, no.
You can ask
Nazira about, yeah, that,
Nazira
one.
About
yes.
that one. Yes.
Anyway, we will leave him be, and as I lead these two off. Okay.
Do miners work at night?
No.
Well, miners aren't allowed to work.
Oh, sorry. I guess that's just what we call them in my town. Geologists. Do they work?
Geologists.
Oh, God.
The word is geologist.
Why didn't they spell it that way then?
They did spell it that way.
I can't read very well, so I'm not really sure either way. I'll listen to him, though, because he's really good
at
reading.
He is way better at reading than both of us.
He's way better at reading than both of us put together, so I'll trust him.
Yes, right. So we've got the information from the ghost. So we're probably not going to be able to talk to the people that work in the mine until sometime tomorrow, because they are probably sleeping, like sane people.
We can wake them up.
Let's not, because
he can't think of a good excuse. Let's wake them up.
No. Because we don't want to aggravate the locals unless we really have to. And that line of questioning can wait.
Save it for when we need it.
Right. No terrifying the population.
Yes.
That's already been terrifying.
No scaring the bros.
No scaring the bros.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, yes.
So I guess we're just going back.
As for where you would be able to go see the laborers, that would be at the Labor Guild, which or more commonly known as the Harvesters Guild.
Mm. Harvesters Guild, right. I'm assuming that's quite happily closed about now.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So we might as well go back to the Downy Nest Inn and take a rest and then get up in the morning.
The two of you rest. I will write what I've learned in my because I'm sure my patron would like to know all these things to update their work.
Don't forget to tell them about how we both got the word the word geologist wrong.
Yes, I will make sure to include
that. I'm sure they'll quite like it. They'll think it's funny.
Yes, sure.
Yes, as your report vanishes from the page, there's just a big happy face drawn on the page in response to what you've said to the curator.
They're probably quite happy that you're discovering this lost story about Caston.
Yeah, correcting the story, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The next morning, you know, your armor is cleaned up and whatever it is usual.
Thank you, Armadeus. I'll go and see where the breakfast is.
Food. Right, yes. Food. Right. Eating is...
Hey.
Mm. What do breakfasts look like here?
The breakfast here is actually a slow-cooked stew made from elephant trunks.
Mmm.
It's served with several slices of very crusty bread.
Mmm.
That is, judging from the warmth of it, fresh.
Right. Excellent. Right.
It's a very peppery stew. Warms the heart and soul.
Just something that a miner would need for a full day's work down into mines.
Yes, so we go visit the Harvesters Guild.
Yeah, I think that's the
Harvesters Guild. Talk to the locals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The Harvester's Guild building is actually surprisingly small, considering that what it is. It's then you think about it for a few moments, it's just like, oh, yeah, no, it doesn't have many office workers. They're all out in the fields.
That makes sense. So this is the support office for the... Is it just the miners, or is it all kind of physical workers?
The Harvester's Guild covers farmers, lumberjacks, harvesters, quarriesmen and miners. Basically, any job that isn't a merchant or the army.
Physical labourers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So blacksmiths?
Yeah. They were named the Harvester's Guild because originally they were just harvesters that formed a union because they were getting screwed over. And then more and more just joined them and now they just cover pretty well all labour. Sorry. Craftsmen, like blacksmiths, are actually a part of the trade union.
So Tenon, before she became a member of the Durga, would have been in the trade union?
A member of the Durga, yeah, would have been a...
Durga, sir.
Yes.
Would have been a member of the trade union.
Yep.
I was in a real backwards tone, you see. I didn't really have a lot to do with them.
Trade union buildings tend to be these grandiose things. And then you've got the Harvester's Guild, which is just a glorified hut.
Yes, because trade unions tend to involve merchants and...
Who are grandiose people.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, you find... go into the guild hall of the Harvester's Guild, and it's a fairly empty affair. There's tables and chairs set up. There's a few kind of like cork boards for freelance work.
Okay.
They're all mostly empty. And then there is just a single desk in the back of this hall area. There is a door behind the desk, so there's probably office space back there.
All right. I'll approach that particular desk. I'm assuming there's like bell. Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding.
Maybe this is going to go up and ding one extra time.
Out of the door comes this, you can't tell age because it's an elf, but this elven woman with light ash grey skin, blue eyes, and white hair with the tips dyed the same sort of blue as her eyes. And she has a name tag on, or like a badge on her lapel that says Millette. M-I-L-E-T-T-E.
Got it. Oh, I like your hair. Very pretty.
Thank you.
Ah, hello.
I apologize to the listeners. My voice is not the best right now. I'm trying.
Yes. Hello. My name is Amreif, and these are my compatriots. We're investigating the ghost.
Oh.
And...
The ghost is actually pretty chill. You can just kind of talk to him.
Yes. Look.
It's not really a classic turn your kind of thing, but we're here, so we might as well finish the job.
I will take your word for it. I don't want to talk to a ghost.
Fair enough.
No, that's fair. I didn't really want to talk to him before I talked to him, you know what I mean?
Kind of necrophobic, but...
That's... So, please excuse my friends. They are excitable.
I just discovered that word.
Yay! Sure. Sure you did. Anyway, we tangentially got investigating the ghost for reasons. Regardless, as a result of investigating the ghost, we need to find a hidden room or series of rooms underground.
Okay.
And
it sounds like something that might come up in the mines, but...
Hence why we're here.
That makes sense.
So, I was wondering who I would need to talk to in your guild about potentially locating such a room or series of rooms.
What? I think I know what you might be looking for. What do they look like?
I give her a general description based on what I saw from my book.
Okay, yes. They are. That is what I thought. There are three possible places that this could be.
Okay.
All of them do have the stone that you're describing. First, there is the Milson mineshaft in the gold mine. It's an abandoned mineshaft. A cave-in happened, and now there's a great big hole that's difficult to traverse, and just for safety reasons.
Oh, sounds dangerous.
Move the workers out of that shaft. But there might be something at the bottom of that hole, but we do know that there are a couple of very narrow, naturally forming passageways past the hole that we had been working on widening, and we could see far enough in one that we could see stone that matched the description that you gave me.
Well, that seems like a...
Other two is in the quartz mine in the Gillig shaft, also an abandoned shaft, though this one's only temporarily. We opened up into an opening natural forming cavern.
Right.
And massive quartz crystal in there. Four-armed abomination hanging out next to it.
Aye. Well, I can see where you've closed it temporarily.
Yes. The creature doesn't leave the room, but it gets pretty cranky when anybody enters.
You know, we're currently hearing something different, but that is something that the Dernyard could take care of for you.
If you take care of it, I will be more than happy and we will definitely pay you for it.
Ooh.
There was spotted more of the stone on the other side of this opening.
Okay.
And finally, in the marble quarry, recently a door made of that stone has been uncovered.
How recently?
Past 2 or 3 days. The peacekeepers have sent a team into the door, and I want to say day before last.
Okay.
And they're not back yet?
No, but they brought like 5-6 days worth of supplies with them.
Okay, they're not back yet, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, on the one hand, it would be great if they were back. Right. On the other hand, we're not expecting them back
yet. Right, okay.
We might need to have a word with them later just to get Ved in on that.
Exactly.
All right, well, we've got a couple of places to have a look.
I want to fight the abomination.
Let's go and have a look at the Milson Mineshaft first. That's the safer option.
It's abandoned. It's dangerous.
Yes, yes, but I would much rather cross Milson off the list, because the other two options are go face this four-armed creature of unknown providence.
Yes.
Mm. Problematic. And then you've got the marble quarry that's already being investigated.
I do agree with that one.
So my thought, and given that for reasons that elude me, I'm in charge.
Because you are the only responsible one here.
And even that's debatable.
I am wholly responsible, please and thank you. I would never do anything irresponsible, ever.
Just steal all the magic items.
Requisition.
Requisition
for the greater good of our God Empress, so that they can be investigated by me.
Anyway,
so I think we should cross the Milson Mineshaft off the list, and then if by that point the peacekeepers have returned from the marble quarry, we can have a yak to them about what they found, if anything.
Right.
And cross that one off the list.
Right.
And if those first two options aren't the one we're looking for, then we can go and find out whatever this four-armed creature is, and, as you suggest, violently bonk it on the head until it dies.
Can you
try to talk to it?
Well, I'd talk to it first, but if talking fails, well,
unfortunately, that is all the time that we have at the moment. There is more to this story that will be shared when next we meet.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.